Rangers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for the NFL draft once again. We promised an interview with South Carolina State safety Jakar Hamilton this morning. I have tried unsuccessfully to get him on the phone here. He has called me, though, yesterday when we were setting this interview up. So he does have my number. Who knows? I could be fielding a phone call any moment if he was busy or anything like that and decides to get back to me. So we kind of sit here and wait and see if that might happen. So at any moment, we could be joining South Carolina State safety Jakar Hamilton. He has made an official visit to the Green Bay Packers, a pre-draft visit, one of 30 allowed by every team in the NFL. So the Packers using one of them on this prospect, safety prospect. So excited to talk to him. Hopefully we'll get the opportunity. But until that time, we'll continue to talk NFL draft and other Packers news here at Cheesehead TV. Of course, our last episode was on Monday, and you probably know what happened Monday. Well, the show was on Monday morning. The incident that I'm referring to here happened Monday later in the day. But I want to express my sympathies to anyone affected by what happened in Boston just 2 days ago. A tragic incident, senseless violence. We actually saw the Packers' connection to what happened in Boston, the act of heroism, although I don't think Joe Andruzzi would call himself a hero. In fact, I've read interviews in which he said he's not. But former Packers offensive lineman Joe Andruzzi, also a former member of the New England Patriots, probably the connection he has to the Boston area, has his foundation, his charity foundation, has a team at the Boston Marathon. He was there to support athletes running in the marathon who was on his team, who are contributing to his charity, things like that. He was caught on camera assisting a person after the bombing at Boston, so that was really nice to see, even if he doesn't consider himself a hero. But good to have the Packers connection there. Reflects nicely on the organization and the NFL that you know, he would think of helping others at that moment in need. So really cool. And you know, that event's now 2 days ago, and I think people wanna perhaps not forget what happened, but perhaps put it behind him. And we'll continue to talk about Packers news here at Railbird Central. But as far as news coming out of the past 24 hours or so, I think one of the bigger stories in the past few days was that the Packers are working on reportedly here, a long-term contract extension with cornerback Sam Shields, which really caught me by surprise. This was reported at ProFootballTalk.com, the famous Mike Florio, who I'm assuming this has come through discussions with his agent, the infamous Drew Rosenhaus. I think the only player Drew Rosenhaus represents on the Packers roster is Sam Shields. I'm not sure if that's a conscious decision to avoid players represented by Drew Rosenhaus or not. And don't quote me on that, but last I saw, at least, he was the only player represented. I think, if I'm correct, former Packers running back Brandon Jackson was represented by Drew Rosenhaus, but obviously not with the Packers anymore. Anyway. So you know, Sam Shields is a restricted free agent. He's got 3 years in the NFL. His contract's up. He received the second round tender from the Green Bay Packers, which is a 1 year offer worth such and such $1 million. You know, it's, you know, for a third year, a guy finishing his third year, it's an adequate payday. But the thing to keep in mind with this tender offer is if Sam Shields were to sign with another team, that other team would have to give up their second-round draft choice to the Packers if they wanted to sign Sam Shields. So that kind of, you know, league-wide in the NFL, you know, players do not trade teams in restricted free agency all that often because of what they would have to give up and because teams have the right of first refusal to match any offer. So it's not like as if Shields were to sign with another team, it's not like he would automatically go there either. The Packers do have the right of first refusal. They could basically match the contract and take it on. So, that's what's happening there. It surprised me to hear that the Packers were working out a long-term contract extension, though, with the Packers because, A, he can just play under his one-year tender and play the season out. And because he then next year would be an unrestricted free agent just 1 year from now. If he can just get through the 2013 season, Sam Shields would be a unrestricted free agent, free to sign with any team he wanted 1 year from now, less than a year from now. And just based upon the way his career has been trending, I would say that he would stand to get a very nice payday a year from now. I think Sam Shields is young. He's fast. He's arguably the Packers' fastest player on their roster. And he's improving. He seems to be getting better. He, after kind of a very promising rookie season, he kind of had a little bit of a disappointing, maybe subpar sophomore year, but then really bounced back here in 2012 with another good outing and seems to be on the rise. And it's a player, you know, if you're the Packers, ideally you don't want to let him go. He is a starting caliber cornerback. And I think from their perspective, to get him under a long-term contract would be ideal, all things being equal, all things considered, as long as they didn't have to pay him an arm and a leg. It would be great for the Packers to keep Sam Shields under team control. I guess I would have assumed that Sam Shields would play under a one-year tender and... I just assumed he would for the opportunity to be a free agent next year rather than years down the road. Now, what I think could happen is I think you could see a very modest contract extension in terms of number of years. I think it could be like the second contract signed by Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley in Green Bay. Whereas, you know, just last year, JerMichael Finley signed a 2-year contract. Not long by any means. It gives him a little, you know, gives him a little payday, and he can still hit free agency again at a fairly young age. That's what Greg Jennings did. Just leaving Green Bay, signing his third contract, I believe, with the Minnesota Vikings, while he still has the opportunity to make money in the NFL. So I think that's what you could see from Sam Shields. Not that I'm guaranteeing it here, but you could see like a 2-3 year deal. The Packers pay him, probably what he deserves. Nothing outrageous, but a nice contract. And he'll hit the free agent market again in 2-3 years down the road. That's my thoughts about what could happen with Sam Shields. Now, that being said, he could very just as well hit
you know, just sign his 1 year tender and you know, play a 1 year in Green Bay and see what happens. See what happens a year from now. And that's to say he would automatically leave in 2014, but he has the opportunity to do so. And also, by the way, to complicate matters somewhat here, Friday, so 2 days from now, is the deadline for restricted free agents to sign with another team. So that would be what? Today's April 17th, April 19th, Friday, April 19th. The deadline, if Sam Shields were to sign with another team, he would have to do so by Friday. Doesn't mean he has to sign with the Packers by Friday, but if he were to sign with another team, he would have to do that. There is no, I think there's like a further deadline in June where Shields would have to sign by with the Packers. Otherwise, their tender offer could be lowered. And you know, that almost certainly wouldn't come to fruition. But it wouldn't doubt at all if Shields took this up to the 11th hour and tried to sign with another team and or, you know, try to make at least the Packers think there's other interest out there and perhaps raise his worth a little bit. But so there's your Sam Shields update for the day. Elsewhere in the news of the Green Bay Packers, we saw a report out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I believe by Tom Silverstein, that defensive lineman Johnny Jolly has not been present at the beginning of the Packers offseason workouts. Now, Jolly is a defensive lineman just coming off suspension. The Packers offseason program began on Monday. Just workouts, simply strength and conditioning. For many players, it's the first time they're coming back in Green Bay since last season ended. You know, many have stayed in town as well. But, you know, this is the point where the whole team can come together. This is the point where the voluntary workouts begin, through which also many of them do receive workout bonuses where they'll be, they get paid simply for attending these workouts. And Jolly is not there. And you know, it's not probably because Johnny Jolly is being a slacker. It probably does have to do with legal ramifications. You know, of course, you know, he has been spent jail time, prison time in Houston. He's probably under parole, probably getting all those things ironed out. You know, is he breaking parole if he goes out of state, things like that? Or, you know, what are his living arrangements, making sure he doesn't break any violations or anything like that? So they're probably dotting some I's and crossing some T's. Could also be a fact that they're waiting for Johnny Jolly to pass a physical, perhaps, before he takes part in their offseason program. But it also, as Tom Silverstein pointed out, that he is expected to join the Packers offseason program soon, somewhat soon. And in fact, I think they said they expected it to happen this week. And again, this report was yesterday. I think it maybe even came out in the morning. So if it's been updated since that time, I haven't seen it. You know, whether he joined the Packers midday yesterday or as of today, who knows? But that's the update there. Just kind of interesting to see where the Packers are at with Johnny Jolly coming off a 3-year suspension for you know, violating the league's substance abuse policy. The Packers, you know, in theory, could use Johnny Jolly this season on the defensive line. You know, obviously they have to see where he's at. When he played for the Packers 3+ years ago, we're talking 2009 and before, he was at the end of that time, 2009, 2008, starting to come into his own and be a productive defensive lineman. I'm not sure maybe he was very offered all that much in his rookie season in the NFL, but you know, had started to become more and more of a contributor and a big body, well over 300 pounds. Also a guy who has long arms and had a penchant for blocking passes from opposing quarterbacks, just getting his arms up in passing lanes and batting them away, swatting them down, things like that. One of the underrated things that Johnny Jolly provided, as I remember, he even blocked a kick against the St. Louis Rams, too. I forget what year that was. But, you know, those are the kind of things he can provide the Packers. And, you know, we don't know where he's at after 3 years off from the NFL, 3 years from not being in football, at least in game shape, not, you know, involved in the day-to-day rigors of preparing for opponents, things of that nature. So, you know, that's why... That's basically why Johnny Jolly needs to be part of this offseason program. I don't think it's a big deal if he misses a few days here as they kind of put things behind him and he gets his life squared away. That obviously takes precedence, takes the most importance. And from all indications, the wheels are turning. Johnny Jolly is in the process of getting those things squared away and will be joining the Packers off-season program. So we kind of take a wait-see approach and find out if he can do that and what impact he might have with the Packers in 2013. He's only playing under a one-year contract with the Packers. So, and you know, I think that's the appropriate. You know, if I were the Packers, I wouldn't be giving them a contract extension anytime soon. You certainly got to make a guy like Johnny Jolly earn it. He's now, I believe, about 30 years old. So he's actually at the point where, you know, he might be at the peak of his career, but, you know, you kind of hit that 30 mark and you start going downhill. Not to say that he might have a good year or two left in him. He very well could, and you know, that's what the Packers are kind of banking on by bringing him back and seeing what he's got. They could use the help on the defensive line. As we know, Jarrell Worthy had an injury sustained late last season, not looking good for prospects of him participating at least early on in the year. So the Packers could use some depth, and not to say they couldn't add that depth in the NFL draft as well. Could be a case there where they address the defensive line at some point in the NFL draft. At what point that is, have no clue. Whether it's a first round draft choice or an early round draft choice, or they're just simply adding depth later. It, you know, kind of depends upon what type of defensive lineman the Packers are looking at too. If you look at the body types of linemen on the Packers roster, you notice that there's kind of two different types of players they have. They've got the big bodies. They've got B.J. Raji and Ryan Pickett, both of them probably 340-plus pounds, probably 350-plus pounds, those guys are. Those are your nose tackles. Those are your run stuffers. Those are your space eaters. So you've got those guys. But there's only two of them on the roster. The Packers could use another big body, especially considering Ryan Pickett is, you know, kind of on the downside of his career. And Johnny Jolly's a big body, too. He might be the third heaviest defensive lineman on the roster. Don't quote me on that, but he might be behind Pickett and Raji. John on the live blog says, I can see the Packers adding a nose tackle, possibly John Jenkins from Georgia. John Jenkins, he's a big boy. He's 350-pound player out of Georgia and probably a day 2 prospect for the NFL draft. Certainly could be a situation where the Packers grab a player like him in the NFL draft. So we'll see. We'll see. Now, on top of those big guys, those big type of players who are, you know, 330 plus pounds, the Packers also have some quicker, smaller defensive linemen, smaller in relative terms, smaller in terms of 3-4 defensive linemen. And you look at almost the rest of them. I mean, we're talking Mike Neal. We're talking Jarrell Worthy. We're talking Mike Daniels. These are all guys who are right around the 300-pound mark or so, and are more your interior pass rushers. Not to say that they don't play the base defense, not to say that they don't play the run, but these guys are making their mark, making their impact by being pass rushers, primarily in your sub packages, your nickel, your dime, things like that. And the Packers have a lot of candidates there, and it's almost hard to see all those guys making the roster this year. What they really need is the guy who can do it all, kind of like Cullen Jenkins did. Now, certainly, I think Cullen Jenkins was probably more known for his pass rush than anything else, but was able to play adequately as a 3-4 base defensive end, and playing the run and being a starter, being basically a three-down player for the Packers. I think they could use that type of guy, although that player has to be really special, really special. John chimes in again on the live blog. I can see a five technique type, a big one like Margus Hunt. Yeah, there's been a lot of speculation about the Packers getting a big, tall defensive lineman in the NFL draft. Margus Hutton certainly fits the bill at 6'8". I think we've talked about him quite a bit, actually, when it was, you know, time for the Senior Bowl. And you know, kind of, he was a big name there. Coming off a good postseason at the University or Southern Methodist University. And I mean, he fits the bill of a tall defensive lineman. The thing you got to worry about with Margus Hunt, he's already 25 years old now. I think he'll be 26 by the end of the 2013 season. So he's older than most college players. I don't know if you want to invest a first-round draft choice in a player that old. Maybe you do. Again, kind of depends about how much you like him. But you know, by the time his second contract comes around, Margus Hunt's career it might be close to over. So that's the concern there. Not to say he's not a good player. I think he is. He's just older than your typical rookie. So, who knows? He could certainly could be an impact player in the Packers defense, and maybe a player right off the bat, maybe a three-down player. Interesting to see whether they could go with a guy like him or Detone Jones of UCLA, pardon me. I personally haven't been that big of a Detone Jones fan. We've talked about him on here before. He's 283 pounds, I think, he weighed in at the NFL Combine. I think that's really on the small side, especially if you're talking about a guy who's going to be a three-down player in the NFL. Not to say he couldn't add weight. But again, it's tough to take that kind of chance on a player in the first round. Maybe later you certainly can, where your investment is much smaller in terms of dollars and years doled out. But to draft a 280-pound defensive end, it's risky. It's risky. So, I can certainly see the Packers addressing the defensive line at some point. At what point that is, just not sure. I'm just not sure. So, again, we play wait and see, as we are now 1 week and 1 day away from the NFL draft. 8 days away Have you gotten your copy of the Cheesehead TV 2013 NFL Draft Guide, by the way? Time is running out if you have not. It's about time you have grabbed it, because you basically only have this upcoming weekend to do your studying anymore. Nah, I mean, you got a whole week to do it, but we would certainly appreciate if you would check it out. And I know many of the people listening into the show have done that, and we're very happy to provide that service. One of the biggest projects we do here at Cheesehead TV, we're really proud of it. Dre Divac checks in on the live blog saying he does have mine. So there you go. We've got the evidence right here that people are buying and investing into it and can speak for its quality. So listen to them. Get your copy of the Cheesehead TV 2013 Draft Guide before it's too late, before the big event, just over a week from now. So learn who these guys are. Learn who these future Packers are, whether it be Margus Hunt or John Jenkins or somebody else. We'll see. We'll see. Exciting time to speculate who these players might be, who the Packers might select with their pick, whether it's the first round or not. But hey, folks, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pause here. I'm going to try to get Jakar Hamilton on the line one last time. Regardless, just hang with me here for a moment. And whether I get him or not, I'll check back in. But just 1 second here, you're going to hear some silence while I try to get Jakar Hamilton on the phone. But hang with us here, folks, at Cheesehead TV. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on Cheesehead TV. Folks, I apologize. I failed in getting Jakar Hamilton on the phone today. We had things all set up prior to this. I had just talked to him yesterday, trying to set up an interview here at Railbird Central. I apologize for publicizing it, promoting it on social media, things like that, and then it doesn't happen. Not answering the phone, not calling me back. So, you know, things certainly can come up if all of a sudden he were to get a phone call himself from an NFL team or things of that nature. I can understand how that'd take a priority, but I don't know that that's the case. But anyway, appreciate you joining us here on a Monday morning here at Cheesehead TV. Pardon me, a Wednesday morning. We'll be back again on Wednesday, or my days are all screwed up. We'll be back again on Friday here, folks. So getting close to the NFL draft. We'll find out what's going on then, but thanks for joining us. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you in 2 days, folks. I leave you today with a song called Proper Education by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go.